breast. Tonight I want to talk to you for just a few moments about the subject of casting thy bread. And let's read a few scriptures here in Ecclesiastes chapter number 11. Cast thy bread upon the waters, for thou shalt find it after many days. Give a portion to seven and also to eight, for thou knowest not what evil shall be upon the earth. If the clouds be full of rain, they empty themselves upon the earth. And if the tree fall toward the south or toward the north, in the place where the tree falleth, there it shall be. He that observeth the wind shall not sow, and he that regardeth the clouds shall not reap. As thou knowest not what is the way of the spirit, nor how the bones do grow in the womb of her that is with child, even so thou knowest not the works of God who maketh all. In the morning sow thy seed, and in the evening withhold not thy hand, for thou knowest not whither shall prosper either this or that, or whether they both shall be alike good. This chapter of which I've read from here tonight is exhorting every one of us to consider being liberal givers, I do believe, and cast our bread upon the waters. I believe it's going to give us several reasons as well as arguments as to why some people choose not to, which certainly don't hold water. And there's going to be some similes here in these verses or analogies that the Lord uses to convey some heavenly truth. And I believe some of the truth that emerges from this is that certainly those that make great sacrifices to the Lord's work as he leads them to do it, no doubt he's going to bless them for it. I'm an American like you are, and I know how we think in America. We're like J.G. Wentworth. It's our money, and we want it now. And a lot of times when it comes to giving, we want to get it right back then. We like that Luke 6:38, give and it shall be given again unto you. But these verses talks about doing something that after many days, you're going to find something that will come back. As believers, I do believe that we always need to remember that God is not unrighteous to forget our work and labor of love. We're told throughout the scriptures in Matthew that we can certainly lay up treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt. We're given great promises that blessed is he that considereth the poor, for the Lord shall remember him in times of troubles. But here's a great promise in chapter 11, especially verse number 1, that if we were to do something after many days, we'll find it. In other words, we'll get back, we'll reap that which we were obedient to do. And what is that? Casting thy bread. And let's pray. Heavenly Father, I pray you'll use this tonight to instruct us. If I need to be apt to teach, that's fine. If you want to set me on fire, that's all right to preach. Lord, just use this to get us each to think about the role we, I hesitate using the word play, but the role that we do play through our church in worldwide missions giving, and especially regarding those times that you want for us to make extremely important sacrifices for something somewhere else. Now, bless now, I pray for your help and wisdom. I'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Fill me. Amen. Casting thy bread. Now, I don't know about you, but when I read this verse, if I want to rightly interpret it, I first of all find a very perplexing commandment. Cast thy bread upon the waters, for after many days, thou shalt find it after many days. That's kind of perplexing to me, because if you ask me to sit down and write a commentary on the verse, I've studied, I have a little bit up on you tonight concerning that, but just right off the bat, I would say, well, to be honest, I guess there's a lot of different views of that. But the word cast there is somewhat like a fishing term. It means to hurl or to launch or to put forth an effort that you have a design purpose behind it. Now, I'm by no means a fisherman, and I did sure don't want to sound like one tonight. But I do know that when you cast something, you want to have some precision with it. I know that when you don't have a boat, it seems like you want to throw it out as far as you can. And then when you have a boat, you want to throw it as near to the land as you can. That don't make sense to me. It certainly doesn't. But you want to have some purpose behind it, and that's so that you can catch something. And the Bible is speaking here about casting. It's not a suggestion. It is not meant for a certain group of fishermen or a certain group of people. Understand, verse number one is a command to cast thy bread upon the waters. Now, commentators are disagree as to where, and I may even sometime myself, disagree as to what the bread is in reference to. And I'll give you just a couple of thoughts, and you can decipher that as you see, please. One of them may be the bread of thy labor. We certainly know that that could be referring to our monies. Oftentimes we use the terminologies, that costs too much bread, we might say. Or the bread might be that which we put on our table. And of course, whatever it is, we get it by our work and whatever we do. And of course, the monies that we have, they tangibly represent the people that we are. One time a young couple got married and the husband didn't like the biscuits his wife was making. He said, "Well, baby, you don't make biscuits like mama used to make." And she said, "Well, you don't make dough like daddy used to make either." And but we all know what we're talking about when we're talking about making some bread. We all like to certainly have that bit of thing with us, don't we? It's what we depend on, and we can't make it without it. It's our money. We have to pay our bills, and we have to live our lives. So you could be talking about, and the Lord could be instructing us concerning the bread of our labor, cast thy bread. It could be also reference to the bread of life. And of course, that's the word of God. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. John chapter 6 is filled with verses where Jesus said that he is the bread of God which cometh down from heaven. And so you could legitimately, I do believe, take the testimony of the scripture to mean give them Jesus and give them his word and give them access to it. If you have in your possession to be able to give them something of this sort, then cast thy bread upon it. And I will remind you as Christians, if you sit there with an open Bible tonight, you have a gift that's given to you by Almighty God that you didn't deserve, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises. The Lord gave the word, and for many here today, you've known the Holy Scriptures since you were a child that's able to make you wise. God has blessed us all immensely. We've got so many copies of the Word of God. We've got so much access to it. We can hear it. We can download it on our phones. And so I believe this perplexing commandment in which the Lord says, cast thy bread upon the water. You listen to the Spirit and let the Lord tell you what he's talking about. But I will take and try to make the application concerning casting. I believe to cast is an act of obedience. For us as Christians, we need to remember that to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of rams. Isaiah would say that, if you be willing and obedient, you shall eat the good of the land. It was Abraham that said, it was told him, "And in thy seed shall all nations of the earth be blessed, because thou hast obeyed my voice." Now let me ask you a question. When it comes to doing what the Lord tells you to do, are you really quick to obey when he speaks to your heart? To cast is an act of obedience. Pharaoh said, showed us what the spirit of the world was. He said, "Who is the Lord that I should obey his voice?" And that's the worldly view of things. Don't listen to God. But for us as Christians, we know that by the obedience of one, many can be made righteous. And so for us Christians, it's important that when God speaks to our heart, we trust that he knows who he's speaking to, and he knows what needs to be done, and he wants to get it done. Here a few months back, I was called by a widow that we were in her the church that she was in West Virginia. And she had talked to her pastor about what to do. And we came in and presented the Victory Baptist Press that Sunday evening and had a good service with them and all. I don't recall meeting the lady or anything, but she called me a few weeks later and said her pastor had told her to call. And she said, "Brother Smith, I'm a widow, and when my husband died, he left me with some means." And she said, "When you were in the church here recently, the Lord spoke to my heart that he wanted me to buy a roll of paper." And she said, "I wrestled with the Lord about it, and I said, 'Now, Lord, I got to think about the future. This is all we've got. I've got. My husband worked hard and all.'" She said, "You know how we do when the Lord tells us to do something." And she said, "I didn't want to obey him." She said Monday came along and the car broke down. Tuesday came along, the dryer tore up. And she said, then I had to go to the doctor on Wednesday. And as the week progressed, more and more financial things were just eating on my finances. And she said, every time something would happen, the Lord was saying, I've been telling you, I want you to do this. And she said, I finally went to my preacher and said, I give up. I got to do what God told me to do. She said, who do I make this roll of paper check out to? And I said, Victory Baptist Press. So here was a lady that took a while for her to stew something over and finally obey the Lord. I received a call today from a lady in Winston-Salem, North Carolina. And we were there weeks ago. And she said, Brother Smith, I had to call you. My preacher told me to give you a call. I'm ready now to buy a roll of paper. I hadn't been doing what God wanted me to do. I'm writing a check today, and I'm sending it to Victory Baptist Press for a roll of paper. I got off the phone and had me a fit. Here's somebody obeying the Lord. I say to you, casting is an act of obedience. I'll tell you something else it is. It's an act of faith. You see, God wants us to live by faith. And it doesn't compute with us to cast bread now upon waters. Because in my thinking, it would be better to cast seed of the bread into good ground. But God says, no, I want you to do something that just doesn't make any sense to you. I want you to do something as an act of faith. And eventually you'll find it. And perhaps you'll find it monetarily. Perhaps you'll find it in a way that somebody will make you aware of how great of a blessing you was. If I study the scriptures right, what the Lord tells us and uses the analogy, says, when a son asks a father for bread, will he give him a stone? And God is not asking us for stones. God is asking for our bread. And without faith, it's impossible to please God. And if you ever do anything that God is speaking to you about, you need to do it as an act of faith. As a matter of fact, our missions conference coming up before long, and we practice to this church, and I believe it's a biblical practice, that of faith promise missions giving. And so when you talk about casting thy bread upon the water, you need to understand it is truly an act of obedience and an act of faith, and I believe it's also an act of sacrifice. You see, waters here is like it's an altar. In other words, send it unto another world, another place that is unknown to you. As a matter of fact, you study these verses here, old commentators would say that this is a navigator's term for shipman. I find in the Old Testament, old Solomon, as rich as he was, he had a navy at Tarshish, and he had a navy around Lebanon. And he would load that navy up with goods, and he would send it out to sea. And he would tell them not to come back for 3 years. But after 3 years, they would take what Solomon had given them upon the waters. They would trade it, make money with it, and come back. And the Bible says when they came back, they brought silver, and they brought gold, and they brought apes, and they brought peacocks, all kinds of very interesting things. And I'm sure there were some exciting stories that went along with them getting out there and just plowing the field and sacrificing for the cause of God and doing what God told them to do. There's a lot of different sacrifices you and I can make. And, of course, you study your Bible, you'll find many of those shown to us. Find in the Old Testament, there's the examples of burnt offerings. They'd put fire on an altar, perhaps. Sometimes they would lay it on wood. Sometimes they would take the inwards out, and they would wash the legs and wash different parts. And sometimes they would take and they'd pluck the fat from the lean. They'd pluck the feathers from it, perhaps. Maybe one offering, they'd cast it into some ashes, and sometimes it's told to put it on the other side of the altar. And I'm just talking about Leviticus chapter 1 alone with what I just referred to. And no doubt we know that the Bible has places it talks about offering sheep and goat and oxen. And bring it at certain times of the year. When you study the Bible, you'll find that there were tribute offerings and grain offerings and different feast offerings made on different days. Bread, unleavened bread and things of that sort. Sometimes you had to offer a sacrifice with incense and things of that sort. And I don't know about you, I love to read the Old Testament Bible, but I'm really glad that I am not an Old Testament Christian. Because all those sacrifices could be very complex, needless to say. Matter of fact, all that stuff is called rightly dividing the sacrifice. And that's what we preachers hope we do when we open the Word of God. We rightly divide the Word of truth. We cut it right so we can put it on the table, God's altar there, so God's people can eat of it. And that's what I'm trying to do tonight. I put it out before you that when God talks about casting your bread, He's talking about an act of sacrifice. Boy, I'm glad I'm a New Testament Christian, because when I get over there, I do believe there's one thing that carries over from the Old Testament, and that's to bring all my tithes and offerings into the storehouse. And I do believe in storehouse tithing. And I do also believe that the Bible tells me upon the first day of the week you lay by you and store as God has prospered you. And so God doesn't get real complex about the sacrifices. However, we do know about tithes and offerings and benevolence and alms in our New Testament churches. I'm a New Testament Christian, and I understand this much about giving and doing something that the Lord tells me to do. It needs to be recognized in my heart as an act of sacrifice. And certainly in our church here, as we have chosen as a corporate body to choose the missionaries that we support, and you support us as we're out on the road, and we're very grateful for that. Thank you for your faithfulness, and we're so glad to have a good sending church such as you. And as a corporate body, we give hopefully weekly to that church, and then that money has been chosen what missionaries we support. And just like Brother Nathan read tonight, we keep up with those missionaries, we pray for them, and we send those sacrifices to them. And sometimes, as the last verse he quoted there from that one brother there, casting our bread upon the waters. But sometimes God looks at the believer and says, now I want something from you. And that's an individual sacrifice. Something that is above and beyond the norm. Recently, a friend of mine up in Tennessee, his son committed suicide. And he contacted me and he said, Brother Smith, I love what you folks do with the Victory Baptist Press. And he said, in honor of our son, I've asked my preacher, and they have a very little church in the mountains of Tennessee. He said, we're going to receive an offering. And they're going to give it to me for some burial expenses. But what I'm going to do is I'm going to cover the burial expenses. And he said, I want the money for that to go for Bibles, individually making a sacrifice. I'm finding as we travel this country that God's people are not broke. They buttonholed and pinholed and sitting on and hoarding up. And the truth of the matter is, if they listened to God, a lot more of God's people would be more free to open up their wallets and cast some bread upon waters, because we're in a place, we want somebody to applaud us and tap us on the back and say, good job. The last thing we want to do is send it somewhere. We'll never see what becomes of it. Casting our bread upon the waters certainly gives seed to the sower. It gives the missionary what he needs to work with on the mission field, and it gives bread to the eater. It gives to those people on those mission fields just what you saw in that video a little bit ago, the ability to scramble and get them a copy of the Word of God and make their way home with it and let their lives be changed with what God has put in their hands. That's the value of the ministry of Victory Baptist Press that we have through this local church here in Milton, Florida. So this perplexing commandment for me here suddenly becomes one that's a little bit exciting, I must say. But then as I read these verses on down there, I begin to notice that there's some persistent concerns that often comes to us all. Because when we say cast our bread upon the waters, we want to say that doesn't make sense to me. And we become concerned sometimes about the portions that we give. As a matter of fact, he mentions portion. Verse 2, give a portion to seven and also to eight. And sometimes it's easy for the Christian to say, well, I do my share of giving to missions, and I dare not think beyond just doing what I've been doing for 20, 30 years. I would never step up and do something more. I do plenty. I give to seven. I promise you, Brother Smith, I can assure you I give to eight. But if you interpret these scriptures, I believe it's written in the aorist tense, which means to continually carry on. He's not just saying give to seven, and then when you get to eight, say, well, that's enough. I don't need to do any more. No, he's meaning give to six, and give to seven, and give to eight. And if you give to eight, go on and give to nine. And if you get to nine, well, why don't you try to make it 10? You know, give and cast that bread upon the waters. Of course, you study the Bible. The waters in the Bible are reference to people. In Revelation chapter 17, the whore's riding up on those waters, and God makes it clear that those people are the people from tribes and nations. They're represented by waters. In fact, Isaiah said, Isaiah would say that the wicked are like the troubled sea, referring to people being like waters. And so when God says, cast your bread upon the waters, I hope sometime you may realize there are people in North Korea that may need what you've got. There's people in the Sudan that may need what you've got. There's people in the Middle East that could get what you've got if you'd be willing to cast your bread upon the waters. There's people in Kenya. Have you ever looked at the map of the world and thought about all the countries of the world that if you involved yourself in giving, you could do more than just seven or eight things? God could use you mightily on the waters of the world. And when he mentions seven and eight, I believe he's also mentioning the diversity in giving. Not just to seven, but make it eight. Do more than that. I've had believers throughout the years, as I've talked to pastors, I've had them to tell me, and I understand what they're saying, but I don't subscribe to it. They'll say, well, you know, we gave some extra to Bible printing about 5 years ago, and I'm not so sure it's time for us to do it again. Well, why not? That's my view about it. And you may say, well, I give to Faith Promise Missions every week. Well, I praise the Lord for you. And I give to Faith Promise Mission seven, eight times. I do it as often as I can. But have you ever listened to God to say to you, you've got one of the most valuable ministries in this country, in our backyard right here, called the Victory Baptist Press, and you've never stepped up to the plate and said, I want to do something beyond the normal for what is in my own local church and cast it upon the waters. I don't care where it's going. Bless God, I'm just going to do it. And there's places all around this world, no doubt, that are certainly being moistened by the trials of what's going on. But he mentions here how we're often concerned about portions. Well, I do my part, and I'm not going to do another dime. And then also we're so concerned sometimes about problems. In verse number 4, he that observeth the wind shall not sow, and he that regardeth the clouds shall not reap. Sometimes we believers say, well, it's too windy right now. When the wind dies down, I'll do it. When I can get around to it, I'm totally tied down by a lot of things. Well, if you observe the wind, you're not going to ever sow. If you sit around and you wait on the wind to die down, it's never going to completely stop. And if you live very long as a believer, you know that trials are inevitable and they're going to constantly come your way. So if you wait for the trials to stop before you cast your bread upon the waters and you involve yourself looking at your problems alone, then you're never going to sow. And when he says, in the morning sow thy seed, in the evening, I believe it's a reference to saying, be concerned about it all day long. And years ago when I pastored, it dawned on me one time that as I taught Faith Promise to our people and everything, and as I was involved in that, it dawned on me how that there could be times I could be as backslidden as the devil, even as a pastor, and not be witnessing to anyone. Is anybody ever like that in this room other than me? And certainly could go back and say, been a long while since maybe I led somebody to Christ. But if I was given to a missionary somewhere around the globe, in the morning, they might be leading somebody to Christ on the other side of the world, and I could still be in bed at home. And in the evening, when I'd sown the seed, they could be doing somewhere. It might be morning where I'm at. You see, if we get our focus off our problems. Now, I believe with all my heart that there's just possibly somebody who are listening or maybe in this room that right now God's just ringing your bell. And the truth of the matter is he wants you to do something special. Beyond the norm. And you're waiting on everything to work out. I was in church this past Sunday morning, and the lady said to me, well, when I sell my house, I'm going to buy a roll of paper. I wanted to look at her and say, you'll never do it. It's like somebody saying, well, when I win the lotto, I'm going to be a blessing to the Victory Baptist Press. You're probably not going to win the lotto, and you dead sure should not be playing the lotto. Truth of the matter is, don't sit around and wait on all your problems to work themselves. I understand prudence. You have to pay your bills. I understand those sort of things. They're important to every Christian's life. But most Christians in America, as I said at the offset of this message, has got money hidden somewhere that you're hoarding on God, and you'd just soon run down to Wally World and blow it on something stupid as to sow it into God's work somewhere. You say you're being mean. No, I'm being honest. In the morning sow thy seed, and in the evening sow you, around the clock. And he goes on to say, he that observeth the clouds shall not sow. Not just the rain, but if you just say, well, there's a cloud, I don't think I'm going to do it. That cloud's coming, I think it's coming this way. Well, that cloud may never make it to you. But what you have in your possession has made it to you. And sometimes God says, cast your bread upon the water, and we're too busy worried about, well, I've done so much already, or maybe, what if a problem comes up? What if I need that to fix the car or something like that? Or maybe we're just in a state of procrastination. You look at these verses here, he says, thou shalt find it after many days. And sometimes we're very prone to think, well, if I'm not going to get it back quick, then that's not a good business deal at all. But understand the way God works with us is not on the economy of thought man thinks. His thoughts are not our thoughts. And when God speaks to our heart about doing something, do not procrastinate it or put it off. Now, if you believe in Bible numerology like I do, well, you mention this here, give a portion to seven. Well, you know the word number seven in the Bible is the number for perfection. Praise the Lord. The number for eight, he mentions here, is the number of new beginnings. In other words, he's saying, when you think you've got to the place of being perfect with what you think you're so good about doing, giving, then bless God, just start all over again. Just go back and you'll never reach the place of completion. Well, withhold not thy hand when it's in the power of your hand to do it. And it's very important that we recognize there's sometimes some things that we let get in the way and say, well, Lord, not now, but when this pandemic's over with, and maybe I get those hours back and this, that, and other. No, you may be on the verge of giving your way out of an issue. I'm not saying name it, claim it tonight. I don't subscribe to that way of teaching nor preaching. But I do know that sometimes, backed in a corner and things are tough and hard, God challenges us to say, do you believe that I'm able to be God? And then won't you just empty everything you've got and give it all to me and watch what I'll do for you. He is a big God that can do more than you ever and I could ever ask or think. Lastly, I want to say something about our personal commitment, because notice the words, cast thy bread, that which you have access to, thy, not another's, not something you've gotten fraudulently, but something that you have labored for. As I get older, there's one verse in the Bible that seems like every week I think about. It is God that gives you power to get wealth, in Deuteronomy 8:18. And I'm not a rich man, but I do know that as a rep for the Victory Baptist Press, and I do know as a Christian, that if I ever get, then I've got to have God's power to get it. Because God is the one that gives that power. Now in these verses, he uses an analogy in verse 3. If the clouds be full of rain, they empty themselves upon the earth. You and I, we don't have to be meteorologists to understand that. We look up and see a cloud full of rain and we say, we know what's fixing to happen, it's about to rain. And it empties itself. Why does it empty itself? Because it's full. And it empties itself because it's full, and it'll turn around and replenish itself and become a full cloud again, but it can't be a full cloud until it's emptied itself. And maybe God just can't and don't want to do what maybe you would long for him to do, because you won't get out on the limb and saw it off and empty out everything you've got so that he can fill you back up. And then he says, if a tree, now it's getting quiet now. If the tree fall toward the south or toward the north, in the place where the tree falleth, there it shall be. Well, Brother Smith, you don't know what's happened in my life. Something just cut me down. You don't know where I'm at. This happened and didn't mean for it to, but it is what it is. A divorce. Loss of job, income, health. The tree fell. And where it falls, if it's facing the south or it's facing the north, guess what? There it's going to lie. And wherever you are in your Christian life right now, that's where God means for you to be. And something's going to feed off that tree eventually. Worms, decay, different things, and it's going to continue to prosper, but it's going to have to do it after it fell. And maybe you've fallen. Maybe you took a dive. Maybe something really has broken your heart and you messed up. We all fumble on 3rd and 10. I understand that. But where you are is where you are. And you're there for such a time as this. And in these last days as we travel this country, I'm here to tell you, I see the great need. We need to pray for our pastor. Pastors are laboring under heaviness like you and I would not understand the oppression that they're under in this day and hour in which we're living. And not only that, but the people within the congregations, the hurts and the pains are there. We have many of them, I'm sure, here in this church that I know nothing about. But he goes on to talk about here, as the bones grow in the womb of her that's with child, even so thou knowest not the works of God who maketh all. You know, we look at somebody that's with child, and they may stick an ultrasound on and say they're going to have a boy or a girl, but we don't know what day God makes that slit in the eye, and we don't know what day God puts that finger on that right hand, and we don't know what day he sticks that rib up under there, and he takes some blood and some moisture and mixes it around as it's floating around. Now, we don't know all that stuff that God's doing, but on that 9th month of gestation, here comes a baby, and we say, wow, look what God did. We didn't understand all the other secret things that he was up to. And what God, I think, is honestly saying in these 6 verses here is that cast your bread upon the water. You have no idea what I'm wanting to use you to do. If you'll just let me do it through you, I can do more than you ever dreamed. Because you don't know the works of God, of what he's up to. And in these last days, I do believe we need to be praying, oh God, bless me indeed, enlarge my coast. We need to see this big world that's quickly coming to Jesus, and the Lord's coming again soon. I do believe it, and I'm telling you, this world is running off of its axis mighty quick, and for us as a part of the bride, it's up to us. We've got to make ourselves ready. Dot your I's, cross your T's. Jesus is coming again soon. I believe with all my heart. And because of it, it's not time to slow down. It's not time to back up and hoard up. It's time to cast your bread upon the waters and do everything that you can do in this last day and hour. I do believe with all my heart that what you and I do as Christians, many times we're meant to provoke others unto good works. And what we do are meant to literally prod others to say, I need to do that. Have you ever gotten around a godly Christian that, boy, they were full of God, and when you went away from them, you thought, man, I need to pray more, I need to do that more, or whatever. Earlier this year, when Memorial Day came, I'd asked the Lord at the start of this year to give us 40 rolls of paper for the road, and when we was here during the pandemic, we was at 18 rolls for the year, and when I hit the road on Memorial Day to go back, I was... To be honest with you, I was just kind of like patching myself up, and I was just like, Lord, I don't like none of this stuff. Like, you don't like it. And I was just trying to get my bearings straight and get back on the road, get back in the saddle and the groove of things. And one of the first churches I went to was in Ohio. And I preached there on a Sunday morning. And when the services came to an end, I was just kind of like glad I got to preach again. First time I preached in 2 months. Man, I was about to bust. And you preachers know what I'm talking about. And preacher got up and he said, well, I think we'll get a roll of paper. I was like, glory to God, getting a roll of paper. Well, that kind of puts a smile on my face a little bit there, because that's what I'm about. And he said, but folk, I just really believe God wants us to get 2. And there was a church running under 100. And I thought, well, I saw the reaction there. I don't know. But he's a pastor, and he mentioned it to the people. He came back to me. He said, Brother Smith, I don't know how we're going to get, you're going to be here tonight. And he said, with us again, he said, I don't know how we're going to get this second roll. I believe God wants us to get a second roll of paper. And I said, well, I praise the Lord if that be the case. And we'll just see what God does. Well, that night, nothing happened. Well, the following week, Monday week, it was like 8, 9, 10 days later. It was the following Sunday and the next Monday. He called me, and I'm telling you what, he was giggling like a little kid on Christmas morning. I mean, this is an aged man of God, and he was just having revival. He said, Brother Smith, I got to tell you what's happened. He said, you know, I mentioned to you, get that second roll of paper. I said, yes, sir. He said, here's what happened. He said, one of my men was sitting in the congregation, and the Lord spoke to his heart about buying that second roll of paper. And he said, but I told the Lord, Lord, I don't have that money. That's $1,150 for a roll of paper, you know, about 1,400 pounds, big old thing. That's like forklift lifted up. And he said, but Lord, you give it to me and I'll work it out. Well, the next morning, this retired man gets up and his CPA calls him and says, so-and-so, you know, I've been doing your taxes for years and you always have had to pay in. He said, yeah. He said, well, I got some news for you. You're going to get some money back. He said, well, how much? He said, $1,152. He said, well, I knew right then I had to get that roll of paper. So he got the roll of paper. Well, he was so excited about it. He went to his preacher. The preacher was thrilled. He thought, well, you know what? I'll wait till Wednesday night, and I'll let him give a testimony. And so on Wednesday night, he got up and gave a testimony. Well, somebody else stood up and said, well, I'm going to give a roll of paper. Somebody else stood up and said, I'm going to give a roll of paper. And preacher said, man, God's in this thing. I think on Sunday we'll give testimonies again, bless God. And by that following Monday morning, they had gotten 7 rolls of paper. And he said, we're having revival in our church because people were getting obedient to God. Well, I thought, I got so fired up, I could just feel it on the phone talking. I was just thrilled about, because I mean, I want to, when I see a car rolling down the road, I don't want to see wheels. I want to see rolls of paper. And when you start talking, I go to church, I talk to people, I say, I'm here to get your money, buckle up. And so it's about paper. Got to have paper, ain't that right, Brother Bert? And so I thought, well, man, I'm going to tell this, bless God, it really happened. I'm not exaggerating, it's a real true story. And so I started telling the story. Well, I went into Gatlinburg. There was a church in Gatlinburg that church had burnt down during the fire they had up there. And boy, we had a good meeting. Folk came to the altar and everything. I didn't know what was going to take place. And the preacher got up and said, folk, we're going to pass offering plates on Sunday for an offering for the Victory Baptist Press, Roaring Fork Baptist Church. I said, well, praise the Lord, that'd be good. So we left, we was gone. The following Monday, after that Sunday, one of the assistant pastors called me and said, Brother Smith, you sitting down? I said, yeah. He said, preacher was so moved by that story, he got on the internet and broadcast it, and there's a bunch of people around the country giving money to build our church after it burned up. He said, everybody got fired up. One businessman called and said, whatever y'all take up, I'll match it. He said, we got a check for Victory Baptist Press for $13,000. I said, well, glory to God, man. I'm glad I was sitting down. And so I was excited. So I thought, man, I got to tell that story. So I went to the next church. I started telling the story. And even until this past weekend, preacher gets up Sunday morning and he gets a roll of paper. And we go out, we have dinner after church. And they're sitting there, his phone rings. He picks up the phone. He says, oh, praise the Lord. He gets off the phone. He said, one of my men wants to buy a roll of paper. I said, glory to God, 2 rolls of paper. About 60 people in church. More than we got here tonight. I wonder how much we get tonight. But anyway, I'll leave that to Brother Tim. But Sunday night, I went to a larger church. And the pastors, we show the video, we're fired up about everything, tell the story. Pastor gets up after the service and he comes up and he says, you know what, folk, I think God wants us to buy a roll of paper. And I thought, well, praise the Lord. Pretty big church, but praise the Lord for a roll of paper. He said, wait a minute, he's getting a text. He says, one of my men says, no, make it 2 rolls of paper. And I said, well, glory to God. Well, he looked at the secretary, he said, sister so-and-so, make sure Brother Smith gets a check before they leave here tonight. And when she came back in after the service, she said, you won't believe what happened. The check's for nearly $5,000. I said, what are you talking about? She said, one of my businessmen came in. He wrote me a check for 2 more rolls of paper. I said, hallelujah, glory to God. Listen, it's God that gives you power to get. Never forget that. Never forget it. Because you forget it, God will take it from you. And then I was on the tarmac getting ready to fly back down here on Monday. And this pastor texts me. And they had bought 4 rolls of paper. And he said, Brother Smith, never happened like this before. I've been here all my life. He said, there's a kid that graduated our academy 2 years ago. And he loves the Lord, but he's very quiet. He said, he's got a good job. That's all he does is work. He said, he just walked in my office and put down on my desk $1,150 in cash. Teenage boy. He said, I want to buy a roll of paper. Now, I'm saying this. Teenagers, widower, I'm saying middle-aged person sitting on that money, hoarding it up, cast your bread upon the waters, and after many days, you'll find it. Boy, we got a big God.